Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Hot Off the Mess. I am your host, Samantha Bush, and of course, we are going to be talking about the episode of Real Houses of Beverly Hills from this week and how Erica is now apparently a Maxinista. We got some Denise Richards family stuff going on in the Bravo news cycle. But also, I had an amazing chat with Hannah Berner. She was on Summer House, Bravo Chat Room. She's doing an amazing comedy tour right now. I loved my chat with Hannah. I think Hannah is genuinely one of the most misunderstood characters on Bravo. And I don't want to say characters, but I thought it was just interesting and nice to talk to her about her experience, what she's doing now, Des. We talked a lot about anxiety and social media and all of that. And I was so excited to get her on the podcast because I just felt it was I felt like it was kind of important for people to see a different side to her and realize that TV is sometimes not always what they make it out to be. But yeah, so just make sure to listen to that. It will be at the end of the episode. So yeah, let's get into some of the breaking Bravo news of the week. Okay, I said it in my intro, but Erica Jean. What the fuck are we going to do with her? For the last, 9 months, 10 months since the news broke about the alleged widows and orphans and everything like that, she's been acting a fool on social media, as we know. She, tells people to eat her pussy. And and then we've just been seeing a lot of photos of her, paparazzi photos, which makes sense, I guess. And we've obviously talked about on the podcast before Tom's weird paparazzi photos that come out where he has an eye patch and a black eye and he's standing in front of the retirement village that he's now living in. It's just it's very weird. But recently, Erica Jane was spotted at a TJ Maxx. Now, I have nothing against a TJ Maxx. I love a convenient, discounted loungewear vibe. And I feel that, I don't know, it's just, I can't even wrap my head around it, to be honest, because it just feels like such a staged photo opportunity. I don't know. She's just in a mask, shopping at TJ Maxx, using her points or whatever. It's just, what are we going to do with her? Because I almost feel like she does this on purpose because she knows we're going to talk about it. And I mean, she loves to be talked about. I think her and Jen Shah are very similar in their delusional narcissism at times. But okay, enough of Erica Jane and TJ Maxx. Let's talk about All Stars 2. So the ladies are officially making their way to Dorinda's house at Bluestone Manor for All Stars. I know it's technically not called All Stars anymore, but I will continue to call it that, much like when they tried to say that it wasn't Winter House and they tried to give it this long name and it didn't stick. I will be referring to it as All Stars. Tamra Judge posted on her Instagram story about 4 suitcases full of clothes and shoes that basically was telling us, hey, we're on our way to fucking All Stars. We are doing it. I know Taylor Armstrong is on her way. Jill Zarin, the good old girls. I'm just excited to see them all together. I know Eva from Atlanta will be there, which people have been kind of questioning why she was invited. And it's I think she's a great addition. She's a reality TV star. She was on America's Next Top Model. That's original reality television. I thought she was great on Atlanta. I just think her time just phased out, which is very normal. So just keep your eyes open for that. I have all of my alerts set on everybody's Instagrams for their little trip, their getaway. I can't wait to see the pictures that are going to be posted because they're going to be different. This is a different group of women in a different place, if you know what I'm saying. They're going to be at Bluestone fucking Manor in the fall. So it's going to be gorgeous. They're going to be in their fall outfits and their boots. And whereas original All-Stars, All-Stars 1, that just is going to be, I think it's going on Peacock. They were obviously on an island. It was it's just different energy. And I just am really here for that. I'm also really here for the women just being trapped in Bluestone Manor because I think we all miss Bluestone Manor if I'm, I don't think I'm crazy. I think we all do. And then, okay. In a recent TikTok that went viral, Sammy Sheen, Denise Richards, and Charlie Sheen's daughter made a video. She obviously made a TikTok. And I think now she's private on social media after this kind of like blew up. But she stated 1 year ago she was trapped in an abusive household and she hated herself. Quote, she would go days without eating or sleeping, feeling insanely depressed, hated school. And now she's finally moved out of the hell house and had a spiritual awakening, owns 2 cats, happy, single, and full of self-love. So when this first came out, everyone was kind of like, wait, was she living with Denise? Like, we were all kind of like putting the pieces together here. Well, People Magazine spoke to a source, rep, if you will, for Denise Richards, stating that, yes, Sammy was living with Denise at this time. Denise, in quotes, set normal rules that any parent would be setting. She's a mom and a parent, and there are rules. She didn't want to follow them. Charlie didn't support implementing these rules. He has a very different way of parenting, and Sammy decided to live with her dad. Denise loves her daughter very much, and she's saddened by the situation. I just hope Sammy is doing well. I hope her and Denise, if there is any friction or any, you know, division in that relationship, I hope that they get together, come together, work it out. To live with Charlie Sheen is probably not the easiest thing in the world, but I'm 1,000% sure he is probably a different parent than he would be like a partner. So he probably doesn't have the same rules as Denise, because I think Denise, like, I don't want to say I think she maybe overcorrected for the fact that Charlie was so wild, but she might have. Like, this woman had been through so much with Charlie Sheen that she probably wanted to, like, shield her daughters from so much, which is why last season, I mean, I don't really want to get into last season of Beverly Hills because that was a complete fucking shit show, and I enjoyed it, but it was a shit show, if you know what I'm saying. Like, she would get upset with the women for talking about certain things with her daughters present. And it's like, I don't know why this was such a hard concept for people to understand. They often were like, well, then just don't have your daughters around. And it's like, well, her friends were there. I'm sure Denise feels pressure to have the other parents feel comfortable, like, oh, you're going to the woman's house who was married to Charlie fucking Sheen. Like that, you know, like she did wild things. Like there's a whole persona of Denise Richards, right? That she's like really sexual. She's this, she's that. And I think she is all those things. But I also think she can also be a mom and a mother and want to shield her children from these situations. And they do live in Hollywood. I just think there's a lot to this situation. And I just hope Sammy is doing well. I hope Denise is doing well. I miss her. I don't think she should ever come back to reality television. I don't think that that was her calling. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. It's just definitely not her calling. So Andy Cohen, Lord and Savior, said on his radio show, he was talking to John Benjamin Hickey about the reunion. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion wrapped up. And, you know, I'm worried. Frankly, you guys, I'm a little worried about the reunion. I don't know why, but I just feel it in my heart and my soul that we're not going to get the reckoning of Erica that I think people want, if you know what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to flop, but I think we need to set our expectations not so high and think Andy Cohen is going to be like, you did this. And like, no, Andy is very, people say he's biased towards Erica. I don't necessarily think that, but I do think Andy has to be very careful with like towing that line of asking the questions we want. But also, I mean, he said on his radio show multiple times during this interview or this talk with John that he's like, she hasn't been charged with anything. And I agree. Like, as much as I think the way she's handled the situation is really appalling, and we don't know for sure, and her stories are mixed up and crazy. We'll get to that in a minute. But we have to keep in mind, she's not a Jen Shah. Like, she hasn't been charged with anything, which causes, like, a lot of confusion, obviously. So Andy just really wanted to, like, get that out there really quick on the show and be like, listen, she hasn't been charged with anything, but they did spend, he said, a big chunk in the beginning of the reunion about the divorce, the separation, about Tom with Erica. And I guess towards the end, there was about a 90-minute spirited conversation is what he says, where, you know, Erica pretty much, he said, Erica answered everything. Every question I asked, he said, she answered. So, I mean, that gave me some hope. Let's just hope the questions were actually good. He did say, like, you know, the viewers sent in amazing questions. He's like, we definitely represented the tenor of what the viewers were saying. And he's like, it was engaging and surprising. And his favorite part of the reunion is he said that there was no walk-offs. They were all there. They were all engaged. He said nothing was left on the table. Like, they all got it out there, because he also talked about how there's, like, it's not just the Erica drama. Like, there's little things going on within everybody in the group, right? Like, there's the Kyle and the Garcelle and Lisa, the Garcelle and Dorit, the Dorit and Kyle situation from the very beginning of the season, the Crystal Sutton stuff, the Sutton Erica. Like, it's all intertwined. And I think that that is what is making this season so fucking good and incredible. So, and Lisa Rinna was on Watch What Happens Live last night, and I was a little surprised to see that she was on. What did I, like, I feel like I missed something. Like, did a guest not show up or something? Because, like, she was just on. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. I probably am. But she seemed to have a different energy about her last night. Like, when Andy brought up the Denise stuff again, which I feel like Lisa will never be able to escape, but she said, she was like, I feel badly about how I behaved with her. Like, she just had this, a calmer energy. Like, she was less pent up about stuff. There was less, like, stress, I think. I don't know. I feel like maybe they really did get everything out on the table and everybody kind of left feeling good. And I personally love that there was no walk-offs. I love a walk-off when it's, like, Camille Grammer walking off with her dress, like, hanging off her body, like, trying to get the mic pack off. That's what I enjoy. I didn't enjoy the Summer House walk-offs with Kyle. That was so fucking dramatic. Like, sit the fuck down. What are we doing? Even the Shaw's reunion, the walk-off with Reza, I was like, I know he's crying, but come on. Like, let's sit down and have this conversation. It's just, I don't know. So, that made me feel better hearing that, because before I was a little anxious, I gotta tell you. So let's discuss the episode of Beverly Hills, aka what I keep calling The Moment. Beverly Hills right now is The Moment. I can't discuss this episode without obviously talking about this mysterious accident / burglary / robbery / like winter storm that apparently her son drove through. So apparently Tom and his house in Pasadena there was a burglary, and Tom confronted the burglar. He has glaucoma. There was stress, I guess, from the burglar, like from doing this, that it then caused pressure on his eye and caused him to go to the hospital. The stepson went to go check on him. And then on his way home, he drove through the snowy hills because apparently he lives north. That's just what Erica keeps saying. I don't really know what that means exactly. But they are in California, and flips his car 5 times. I'm assuming everyone is good. I'm assuming the son is doing well. I don't really know how you flip a car and walk away, like, totally fine. Like, how was this never discussed? Like, in the press, like, none of this has ever come out. And I just find that to be so strange. And so Kyle says in her confessional, she's just like, this is unbelievable. I just can't even believe this. And she's like, not that I don't believe Erica, but it's an unbelievable story. And I have to agree. It's a little crazy. And like PK said, he said, you know, I'm not a statistician, but statistically, this doesn't really make sense. Like, why are people rolling down hills like this? Like, why are people rolling their cars? Like, what is happening here that these are the stories that are being told? And he's saying, you know, it's not that he doesn't believe Erica. He feels that Tom is the one telling her these stories and she's believing it because she was in a very controlling marriage. for 22 years, and that is just the status quo for her. It's just like, okay, Tom, or someone on Tom's team is telling me this is what happened. I'm going to go with the story. And I mean, they're like blown away. Like Mauricio and PK, Mauricio was fucking blown out of his mind. Okay. He is like, I love that he's just leaning into being a stoner. You know what I'm saying? Like he's fully leaning into this idea that Mauricio just is a stoner, because when Kyle just wanted him to fucking light candles, he was like, where are they? Like he's just so funny. I love Kyle and Mauricio's relationship, but I also love PK and Dorit and Kyle and Mauricio together. I like seeing Kyle in her home, like cooking and like, you know, cooking this nice dinner party. It felt very intimate. It felt like they really are friends outside of the show, which I know we knew that, but to see it together, like it just felt good. So Kyle and Dorit are like trying to tell the men these stories about the hills and the falling out of the car and the eye and the glaucoma. And PK and Mauricio are genuinely like, are you guys like listening to yourselves? Like, what are you even saying? And then PK said the funniest line of the night. There has been some really good lines in this season in general, specifically coming from like Kathy Hilton. But I personally, this is my personal favorite.
Let's focus on the angle, right? He's not a soccer player. He's a lawyer. Huh? This is a 79-year-old lawyer.
Like Aaron Siegel, because he has
And the wife goes, no, 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 not the brain, just a f***ing angle.
Yeah, so it's just my favorite, it's my favorite quote, because PK is just a star. Like, we just got to be honest with ourselves. He deserves the diamond. He deserves an apple. Get him on every franchise. I want him on Watch What Happens Live. Like, I want him and Mauricio in one of those chairs. I know that the boys, or the men, excuse me, the husbands of New Jersey, they go on Watch What Happens Live, and it's fun and cute. I'm like, get PK and Mauricio on. They would be so funny together. I know Andy would probably have a good time with Mauricio beforehand, because I know Andy, I believe, allegedly, I'm covering all my bases, obviously, partakes in the weed, or is the reefer, as Mary Cosby calls it. I just enjoyed that dinner. I thought PK brought up very valid points. And I love that it's very obvious that Dorit and PK gossip together. Like, that's my ideal relationship. I want a husband who I can gossip with, who's like, who like giggles and like can tell jokes and like not insert himself in women's drama, but like with me, I want him to talk about it. Does that make sense? Like, I want to talk shit with the person I'm married to. Is that, that's probably not healthy. You know what? Whatever. I don't give a fuck. What is healthy anymore? We don't even know. And then, you know, Garcelle is getting back onto the dating game. I was very triggered by her going on Bumble. Watching this goddess go on the same app that I'm on, I was like, girl, get a new fucking matchmaker. This is not how you do things. Like, you're Garcelle. You don't need to be answering prompts. You don't need to be saying, like, the three things I look for, or, like, what my mom thinks about me is dot, dot. Like, we don't need Garcelle answering these questions. She needs to be, like, I totally am on the same page as Garcelle. I want to like meet someone in person. Like, I want to like have that connection where like you bump into them. And I, you know, I really think Garcelle should invest in my single person grocery store. I will talk about it every episode until it happens. I want to reach for a head of, you know, cauliflower, and his hand touches mine, and it's a beautiful little meat cute. That's what I want. And that's what Garcelle wants. And what Garcelle wants, Garcelle gets. Let's be fucking honest. But then we see the guy, and he's looking like a snack. He's really hot, but I think he's hot, but I don't think that is Garcelle's type. I think Garcelle is more about connection and more about like, you know, being bonded with someone like emotionally and intellectually. I think she obviously loves a hot body, but I think, I mean, and this is gonna sound rude, but looking at her ex-husband, I'm like, she's obviously okay with being like the most beautiful in their relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, kind of like a Dorit. Like, Dorit married PK knowing, like, this is a personality here, which makes him attractive, which is great, which is fine. That's, like, the goals in life. you want someone to make you laugh. But so this guy that like Garcelle's obviously being shown, I'm like, yeah, he's hot. Obviously he has abs, but it's like when you're in LA, doesn't everyone have abs? Is that like standard? I don't know. And personally, I'm not like an ab girl. Like I don't need an ab to make me happy. I don't know. I'm like going in a rant here. Because for me, I just think when a guy looks like that, that's like the only thing they're into. And then they'll like be really obsessive about what they eat. And I just can't deal with that in life. It's just something I refuse to deal with. I actually, when I was manifesting my dream man with my friend Paige, on one of my cards, I was like, he can't be like a gym rat. That is just not a cute moment for me. Anyways, back to Garcelle. So, I mean, I wish her the best of luck. I hope she finds someone like not on Bumble. She deserves better than that. And Dorit is throwing this wedding party, this wedding dress party where the models have to stand on boxes in wedding dresses outside of her window. And I got a text from my friend Chris Lewis. He hosts Shortcomings with me. And he texted me last night and he goes, you were right. She has so much seating in her house and like none of them are the same fabric. None of them are the same shape. Not like the seating in Dorit's home is out of fucking control. I counted last week. I said it on the podcast, but then afterwards I was like, you know what? I got to count how many chairs this bitch has in her one room. It was 22. She had 22 options for people to sit on. Why? I don't know. And that was just in that frame, that one little frame of PK and Dorit eating charcuterie. Absolutely fucking mind blowing. I was like, what are we doing? Yeah. So there's that. So I don't want to say I felt like this episode was a filler episode because I feel like that's really negative sounding. I think it was just a good episode of Housewives, if that makes sense. Like it's obviously not going to be like Erica yelling at Sutton at the dinner party. Like, we're not going to get those every episode. I think this was just a good, fun, funny episode. And we got some drama with Garcelle and Dorit where Dorit has this, like, really confused idea of, like, what Garcelle should and shouldn't be doing. And I don't understand this. Like, Garcelle is like, I told you to your face how I felt. And yet Dorit is continuously repeating, you need to be more direct with me. It's like, what do you want her to do? And Kyle's like, you literally have to tell her to shut up. And I'm like, that's weird. That's a weird thing. Like, because I fucking guarantee if Garcelle ever looked at Dorit and told her to shut up and was like serious and not in this conversation, in this context, like they were just at a regular dinner party and Garcelle looked at her and was like, shut up. That would not go over well. Okay. It just wouldn't. And this whole fight with them feels so fucking odd. I just can't seem to wrap my head around it. And Dorit really thinks she's right. And that's, honestly, that's something I love about her. Because she thinks that this conversation and her stance is going to sit with us viewers. And we're going to be like, yeah, Dorit, Garcelle is really gunning for you. Garcelle's not gunning for you. Garcelle is like, please, you talk a lot. You know, you weren't being honest the other night. Like, she's not being a bully. And it was just frustrating. And of course, Erica and Sutton, I was blown away by Erica and Sutton at this episode. It was very subtle, but Erica actually wasn't horrible to her. And I was shocked. I thought Erica would completely ignore her. I thought Erica would walk away when Sutton walked up to the little table. She didn't. She complimented her. She moved her bag so Sutton could like set her drink down. And I was like, interesting. I have a theory that when Erica watches the show, I think she's obviously upset of what Sutton is saying about her. But I almost feel like a part of her will kind of respect the fact that when she sees it play out, I mean, I could totally be wrong. I could be wrong, but maybe when she watches it play out, she'll be like, wow, this girl was actually being honest with me the whole time. And the people I thought were my friends, like Kyle specifically, and Dorit too, obviously, she had a lot to say about Erica. is like, wow, you guys weren't really upfront with me. Like, you thought, you said you were, or I thought you were. And I just, a part of me feels like there is that Georgia connection between Sutton and Erica that, like, will always kind of keep them, like, we see each other type of thing. Also, I think Erica will maybe respect Sutton. I don't know. These are just theories. I mean, I totally could be wrong. She could literally be wishing death on Sutton as we speak. I don't know. But I don't get that vibe. When I saw her move her purse at the table, I was like, huh, maybe there's something there. Because I don't think she'll ever allow Sutton into her life in a friendship way. But I think that maybe there's something. I don't know. But that, you know, that's pretty much all I have to say about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm really excited for you guys to listen to my chat with Hannah. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to get into that. Let's be honest, ratings and reviews are so important, especially when you're in need of a doctor. You wouldn't go to a restaurant if they only had one star, so why go through all of that with a healthcare provider? And after the last year, now is the time to prioritize your health. Whether you need a primary care physician, a dentist, dermatologist, psychiatrist, eye doctor, or other specialists, ZocDoc has you covered. Just download the free ZocDoc app, the easiest way to find a great doctor and instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can search for local doctors who take your insurance, read verified patient reviews, and book an appointment in person or video chat. Never wait on hold with a receptionist again. ZocDoc makes healthcare easy. Go to ZocDoc.com/HOTM and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free and book a top-rated doctor. Many are available as soon as today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOTM. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Samantha. Nice to meet you.
Oh, my God. Nice to meet you, too. Like, we're, like, officially meeting.
I know. I was like, Jade, I've DM'd this bitch so many dark nights.
so many dark nights. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for doing this. I'm, like, so excited to talk with you.
I know. I'm so excited. I've always loved following your account, and overall, I feel like you've always been just, like, good energy.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you. And also, like, first off, congratulations on, like, all your success with the comedy tour and everything. How is that going?
Oh, my God. It's been crazy because I feel like after college, I was in sales. I was in marketing. And I just felt, like, bored and, like, empty. And I wanted to get back into, like, video, because I did some video, like, sports broadcasting in college, and I never thought I'd end up on reality TV, but I never had, like, a real specific goal. I just wanted to entertain, and I finally feel like I'm in this space where I love writing, I love making people laugh, I love kind of calling out, like, the things that people are afraid to say. I love being raw on stage. I love seeing people, like, in person and just being as close to, like, finding my authentic self as possible. And stand-up has really brought me, like, joy after, like, so much darkness of the pandemic.
I was just about to ask you about that. Like, how was it going back out there post-COVID? Because, like, I know we're still kind of, like, in COVID, but now that people are able to come see you, like, how has that been?
It was crazy because a lot of comics during the pandemic did, like, Zoom shows and stuff. And I kind of took a break and, like, fully committed to podcasting. Paige and I were creating Giggly Squad. And I was just, like, creating funny videos all the time and then filming Summer House. So once things opened up, my whole life is different than pre-pandemic, where all my jokes were about being single. Mm-hmm. And now my jokes, I now am like, had a ring on my finger. So I had to write a bunch of new material. But the people have been so fucking amazing, where I think everyone has gone through some sort of mental health shit during the pandemic, like, to different extent.
Yeah.
And different levels. So people being out just ready to have fun, they just want to have a good time so bad. And I feel like the energy is better than ever. And I've been traveling to some places that I never thought I would ever be, like Kansas City and, you know, Houston, Texas, or Richmond, Virginia. And I've just felt so much like love and like almost like a common feeling of everyone just wanting to find some like light in the darkness that we've all been exposed to, and everyone's coped differently.
Oh, I totally know what you mean. And like, I was listening to your podcast that you did with Josh Flagg. And, like before your interview, you obviously talked about like anxiety, and like, I just have to say, I relate to that so hard because like, and I think it's so important, and I love how much like you are so open and vulnerable about that. So I just like have to say thank you, like for always being like so open about anxiety, because, but I also loved when you talked about, how people almost use anxiety or depression as like a clickbaity kind of joke or something. It's like weird. It's like, no, this is a real thing that people struggle with.
Well, I feel like especially with Instagram, people like are so fake with portraying their lives, which is okay. Everyone wants to put out their best self.
Totally.
Then like, anxiety and depression kind of became this like trend, and I'd been talking about it like on the pod for a long time, and it's like sometimes people will just kind of say stuff to where I do think it's great that people are talking about it, and I'm the first to like joke about it to make people feel like a little more relatable, but it's like it's not something that's glamorous, you know?
Right.
Like, for example, on TikTok, people talk about, like, recovering from depression or, like, their wellness journey. And it's, like, matcha lattes and, you know, a beautiful journal with, like, a beautiful pen.
With, like, white linen, like, bedding and, like, there's candles. Yes. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
And, like, no makeup look. And, like, I'm, like, I think when I went on reality TV, it was Teresa Giudice's lawyer who I was friends with, who I was like,
Jim?
It's a New York community. He was like a friend of a friend. And I was like, do you have any advice for me?
Oh my God.
And he was like, well, what's your role? Like, are you going to be the hot mess? Are you going to be the truth teller? Are you going to be the sexy one? Are you going to be like the drama one? And I was like, I don't like putting myself into boxes. Like, I want to show that women could be, like, sexy, but also, like, sporty, but also, like, confident, but also insecure, and also, like have their shit together, but also fall apart sometimes.
Yeah, you wanted to show that women are complex.
Exactly. And yeah. I do feel like in my stand-up, I'm able to tell a lot more about who I am and how my mind works, and I think one thing that people might not know about me is I'm, like, deeply fucking sensitive. Like, reality TV was my biggest fear. Like, I'll go on old pods being, like, my biggest fear is, like, being portrayed not completely, like, who I am. And yeah. Then I realized at the end of it all, like, we're here to entertain. And, you know, my first two seasons surprisingly went really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never felt like I was the cool girl or I was the one people would look up to. Like, I never thought I was aspirational, but suddenly people like liked my story, liked my vibe. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And then my last season during quarantine, like, I was an emotional wreck and I was really struggling with a lot of things. I was also falling in love. I was also having like personal stuff. And I hope that like, in my ups and downs of seasons that maybe I think I like was able to at least make people feel either a little more sane about their own experiences,
right,
or be like, damn, like it's okay to be vulnerable and emotional.
Yeah. And I mean, I also think that that's a huge thing that no one really discussed was like COVID happened. And then all of a sudden you guys had to just like act like everything was normal. And it's like, for example, I was just at a bachelorette over the weekend and I was having like some serious anxiety just being around that many people in a small house, like because that was the very first time. So I'm like, I can't imagine coming right out of COVID and having to then shoot a show and try to like get my bearings. Like I couldn't do it. So
it was also like, I was in bed a lot. I'm not going to lie. And like, I was dealing with,
oh my
depression.
God, I was dying at you and Paige watching Love Island.
We had times where like, we weren't supposed to be anywhere. So like, I was not about to be run around. I was like, we have to watch all of Love Island, and we did.
Like you said earlier about being a complex person, it's like a lot of people don't see women in that way. And so when they do, they don't really know what to do with her. Like,
and especially anger. I think that when a man is angry versus when a woman is angry, it gets such different responses on television.
It's crazy.
I mean, that's the whole like joke about how Giggly Squad started.
Oh my God.
Beginning of season two. The stuff that was said to me and cursed at me and yelled at me, like people don't even know. And I just stood there. And I kind of just took it and then made it into a funny podcast.
It's hilarious. I will never forget that episode.
But when I was stuck in a house with people, I thought, you know what? America knows me. They know what I'm about. They know my heart. I'm gonna talk back. And it turns out I'm actually not that good at fighting. And I didn't always make sense. And I was emotional, crying. And people, I don't know if it reminds them something about, like, themselves or something they don't ever want to see themselves do. But I was a tennis player. I used to lose on the court all the time, but I was like passionate and expressive. And I do think that we're not there yet with like accepting like women's full spectrum of emotions.
No,
because I'm not the hot girl. I'm not the like quiet girl. I'm not just the funny girl. I'm like a lot more shit, and I don't know if people were ready to take it on.
No, I mean, I get that. I was just having this conversation with my friends the other day where it's like we were talking about how men don't understand feeling more than one emotion in a day. Like, I can wake up happy and feel angry in the middle of the day and probably go to bed feeling anxious. And, like, that's just a day in the life.
Yeah,
and they're just, like, funny. Confused.
At the end of the season, a lot of people were just like, we didn't like your behavior. Like, that was, like, the biggest thing that people were saying. And I was just kind of, I was very confused because I felt like if you watched all the seasons, every single person has had a time that they were angry. Mm-hmm. Every single person has had a time where, like, they felt like a guy hurt their feelings. And I'm like, wait, so am I not allowed to feel hurt? Am I not allowed to feel upset when people are insulting me? Do I have to be a robot? And I feel like a lot of women are taught to just be caretakers and sweet. And when you're upset, just, like, cry on the side. And I never imagined, like, the, like, extent of negativity I would get for, like, just trying to defend myself. But, again, it's the context that you see things in.
Yeah. And you talked about, too, on the podcast that this idea of like blocking and muting people is like considered a sign of weakness. If you're receiving this hate and you want to block or mute, people are like, oh, she can't handle it. I am an advocate of the block button. Like the amount of people I have blocked on Twitter, because I'm like, I'm not allowing you to make me feel bad on my own phone. Like,
yes. Oh my God. I did. When I was doing chat room, we did, oh my gosh, shoot, I forget which rapper. I think it might have been, like, Cameron or something. I don't know, but a rapper said he blocked 500,000 accounts.
Oh my God.
And I was laughing so hard. But for me, it's funny, too, because people will be like, when people say really horrible, vulgar things or something really mean or some things that are just untrue on my page that, like, also, my sister, I'm a family bitch. Like, my grandma follows my page.
Right.
And I will delete shit. People be like, she's deleting comments. And I was like, my page is my page. And I'll take off anything that I feel like is something.
Oh, I know. I know.
It's not like just a piece of artwork for trolls to paint on, you know?
No. And, like, again, people don't seem to understand that. They're like, because it's, they always are like, well, it's your platform and you're opening yourself up for criticism. It's like, there's a difference between just being a fucking asshole and being in constructively criticizing me. Like, it's just, it's very different, and I don't have to be a part of that. Like,
but I also think the hardest thing with the pandemic was, like, we, the cast, didn't see each other for a couple months before filming, and it was just kind of virtual, and it was just a show airing, and honestly, season two was, like, a great season for me. I didn't expect it, and coming in, people had a lot of emotions, and then I found out I got chat room, which was, like, a dream come true, and one thing I learned about reality TV is if enough people are willing to, like, talk bad about you in confessionals, it's very hard to for people to see your side.
Yeah, it's almost like you're being, like, ambushed. Like, it's this weird... So that would be
well,
like
the average viewer, they're like, okay, like, three people are saying this. So right. It must be true.
So let's talk about Des. Because... I personally am, like, a huge advocate for dating older men. Like, when you started dating Des and you were, like, what was he at the time, like, 44?
I think he was 44, yeah.
Okay, yeah. See, I'm a creep. Okay.
No, this is good. You did your research.
Yeah. So I think he was, like, 44, and I just remember being like, yes, bitch. Like, yes. Like, it's great. So, like, congrats on the engagement.
Oh my God, thank you.
How did you guys meet?
Okay, the story's so funny because 5 years ago, I was like, I think I was in marketing, and I went to a comedy club, and I hated my job. We went to the Comedy Cellar, and this cute guy is performing, and I, like, loved his voice. I loved his, like, how he carried himself. He was so funny. And, like, humor to me is everything. And his jokes were all about how he lived in Ireland, so I was like, oh, I guess I'm not marrying this dude.
Right.
And, fast forward, I got into comedy, and, like, I think, like, maybe a couple months before filming Summer House, he added me on Instagram, because he saw me on, actually, Nikki Glaser's story, who he was friends with, and I assume maybe he just wanted me on his podcast or something, but we never talked, and then, it's actually a pretty Bravo relevant story. During COVID, I was literally locked up with my parents and five cats, and I was, like, Luke was calling me twice a day. I was FaceTiming some football player. Like, I was just feeling kind of lost, but, like, trying my best to find love.
You were trying your best. You were love in the pandemic, love in the time of Corona.
Yeah, I was, like weird FaceTime dates.
Going oh, my God. Lost, I'm, like, I have, like, PTSD. That was, like, a real moment.
Dude, I have, like, 10 minutes of stand-up about, like, the darkness of FaceTime dating.
Oh, my God.
And Luann... assistant loves Giggly Squad and said, Luann's on Shelter Island. Can we do, like, an outdoor social distance lunch? I'd love for you to meet Luann. And I was like, oh, I have to meet Luann. Like, I've never met her. I haven't even gone outside. So we go, and we have so much fun. And she's just, like, everything you think she'd be. She's exactly the same. But, like, kind of took a liking to me, and, like, I guess because she has a very, like, fun side to her and silly side. Just, like, wants to chill and, like, enjoy Shelter Island.
Yeah.
So we take a photo together, and I tag it, like, Salt on Shelter Island, this restaurant we went to. And Des randomly slides into my DMs. And it was the most, like, classy slide ever, where he basically was like, hey, are you out east? And I'm like...
Oh, that's very, like,
Irish dude. So he's lived in Ireland since he's 14, and occasionally will come back to West Hampton where he has a family house. And because of the pandemic, he decided to leave Ireland to be in West Hampton during the pandemic. So the pandemic literally was the only reason he was
here
in the Hamptons.
Yeah, wow.
So I was like, yeah, I am. And he's like, do you want to get coffee in Sag Harbor?
Stop.
And I was like, sure, here's my digits. And that was it.
And you guys, like, got coffee, and then that was it? And you just, like, really liked him?
So we got coffee. And the first time I got in the car, I was, like, annoyed because my dad dropped me off, like, 40 minutes early because he had a golf team.
Not time. Your dad dropping you off, Hannah.
Oh, honey, I don't have a driver's license.
Oh. Oh. Oh, my God. Okay.
Hardcore New York.
Yeah, this is, like, very New York. Okay, I was like, Hannah, why is your dad dropping you off the coffee?
He dropped me off at the ferry.
Okay.
So down to the ferry. So there was, like, some... I, like, traveled the sea to get to him.
Oh, my God.
And I was annoyed because it was was 9 degrees and I was sweating so much.
Were you nervous?
I was nervous. I was angry. I was feeling every emotion.
Yeah.
Which we love. We love emotions today. And I get in the car, and most guys, I would pretend like I'm perfect for 6 months. But I sat down, and something about it made me comfortable. And I was just like, my dad pissed me off. Like, my dad are actually best friends. Like, we're the same person. We've gone through everything together. So we bust each other's balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm complaining, and Des turns and goes, at least your parents are alive.
Oh, my God, Hannah.
And we just start hysterically laughing because his parents did pass away, rest in peace. But he has this dark, silly sense of humor that, like, immediately put a smile on my face.
And that kind of maybe, like, put you at ease, too. Like, okay, like, I can hang with this guy. I can laugh with him and joke with him, and it's fine.
Yeah, like, I mean, that joke was a make or break for the day.
It was ballsy. It was a real ballsy move. Yeah. So did you know that the engagement was coming?
Well, it's so funny because as comics, we would joke a lot, and I would, like, send him rings, and he would respond, like, on it, and I'd be like, is he kidding or not? And then in February, I was filming Chat Room, and we went to my parents, and my dad and him were talking in the other room, and then my dad walked back in when I was, like, in the bathroom, and I heard him be like, I said no to him, haha. Mm-hmm. And you also had that weird sense. And then while I was at Summer House, he used to send me really funny, like, singing videos, mm-hmm. of him just singing about, like, what was going on, or, like, how he missed me, or, like, an old date we went on. So one morning he sent me a funny video again, because he stopped sending the videos because, you know, we were starting to get into, like, boring marriage mode. And at the end of the video, he's like, I have something to tell you. And then he was at the bed and proposed. And it was just like...
That's sweet.
I realized my life was going to change after that. And I realized I had to make some decisions for, like, the health of our relationship. Because with, like, where my entertainment career was going to go.
Yeah. And so I'm assuming that he's been, like, really a great support to you, like, throughout this horrible time that you've been having.
Well, I do think that, like, I wouldn't wish this on anyone's relationship where, like, when we, like, fell in love and then we had to, like, deal with, like, a lot of comments and online speculation about, like, our relationship and stuff. Yeah.
That's, I can't imagine that.
And it's also, like, I felt bad because I made him come on. Like, he wanted to, but I was like, no, this will be great.
You're like, we're going to have so much fun.
It was like, it worked well with British Dave. Like, Armand and I were fine. Like, it worked. It was fine with Luke. Like, it's going to be fine. Like, people love love. Like, let's do this. Let's do it. So, but he's been just really good at telling me to, like, stay away from comments and gearing me towards, like, what really makes me happy and having someone that understands stand-up and, like, knows the journey that I'm on right now has been amazing. Like, tonight I'm going to open for one of his shows, and he's been featuring for me on the road on tour. So, like, Des comes to a bunch of shows, and it's been, like, a whole new kind of bonding experience. We've worked together in a lot of ways. I joke that, like, your relationship early on, like, anyone could get along for 6 months pretending, but, like, get in a tough situation, see, put together an IKEA couch just to see if you won't get hit by a 2x4.
Right.
And then getting.
Well, I'm so happy for you. And I'm glad to see that you're doing well and that the comedy tour is doing so well. And what can we, like, I won't keep you for very much longer, but what can we expect next from you? Like, are you going to just continue touring? Like, what's the vibes here? Like, what's your dreams?
Oh my God, good question. So I'm touring, and with the tour, like, right now I have about an hour of stand-up material that I work on. Like, every night I'm doing stand-up in the city to just, like, you cut and you edit and you add and you write. Ultimately, I want to have a stand-up special. And I also, I do really love comedy acting. Like, I started in comedy, funny video writing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll be back on the TV screen. Maybe I'll write something or get involved in something. And I do think I have some stuff I'm working on with some other really talented comics. And I've surrounded myself with some really, like, just driven, positive, cool people that really support me and love me. And I feel like that's been the best part of this transition that I've gone on over the last couple months.
That's so exciting. Well, I look forward to seeing, like, a Netflix special. Or,
yeah, that would be sick, right?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Where can people find you, listen to you?
Oh, yeah, so you can go to hannahbrenner.com to see what cities I'm going to be at next. I'm going to be in the West Coast soon. I'm doing New Jersey, Buffalo. I'm doing Nashville. I think Paige and Sierra might come to that.
Shout out to Paige and Sierra, Queens.
Yes, Queens.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, Hannah.
Yes, thank you for letting me speak on a lot of things and for always supporting me. You're the best.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed my talk with Hannah. Of course, there's more of this interview where we talk about how stressful confessionals were for her this past season, the Luke of it all, the Des of it all. We talk about that. Just make sure you go check that out over on thedip.com. That's D-I-P-P. And make sure you rate, subscribe, and review this podcast. And of course, check out the other Dip's amazing podcasts. There's Exposed, which is a drag race podcast, TV Watch Repeat, Pop Chaser, But Now We Said It, Slut Pig Podcast. There's so many amazing ones. Just whatever you're into, you'll find a podcast that's like for you. And then I'll see you guys around on Instagram. We'll talk next week. Bye.